There was no explosion, and neither Kurt nor I think there was any sort of radiation leak either. Big sighs of relief greeted this, but several of the troopers still looked doubtful. Sandy didn't know how he looked. There was no mirror handy, but he still felt doubtful. "Pass these around if you want," Kurt said, and handed out his stack of Polaroids by twos and threes. Some had been taken during the flashes and showed almost nothing. A glimmer of grillwork, a piece of the Buick's roof. Others were much clearer. The best had that odd, flat, declamatory quality which is the sole property of Polaroid photographs. "I see a world where there's only cause and effect," they seem to say. "A world where every object is an avatar and no gods move behind the scenes." "Like conventional film or the badges workers in radiation-intensive environments have to wear," Tony said, "Polaroid stock fogs when it's exposed to strong gamma radiation. Some of these photos are overexposed, but none of them are fogged. We're not hot, in other words." Phil Candleton said, "No offense to you, Sarge, but I'm not crazy about trusting my nads to the Polaroid Corporation of America. I'll go up to the Berg tomorrow, first thing, and buy a Geiger counter," Kurt said. He spoke calmly and reasonably, but they could still hear the pulse of excitement in his voice. Under the cool, "will you please step out of your car, sir," voice, Kurt Wilcox was close to blowing his top. "They sell them at the Army Surplus Store on Grand. I think they go for around $300. I'll take the money out of the contingency fund if no one objects." No one did. "In the meantime," Tony said, "it's more important than ever that we keep this quiet. I believe that either by luck or providence, that thing has fallen into the hands of men who can actually do that. Will you?" There were murmurs of agreement. Dickie Duck was sitting cross-legged on the floor, stroking Mr. Dillon's head. Dee was asleep with his muzzle on his paws. For the barracks mascot, the excitement was definitely over.
"I'm all right with that as long as the needle on the old Geiger counter doesn't move out of the green," Dickie Duck said. "If it does, I vote we call the feds."
"Do you think they can take care of it any better than we can?" Kurt asked hotly. "Jesus Christ, Dickie, the thieves can't get out of their own way, and—"
"Unless you have plans to lead line Ched B out of the contingency fund," someone else began.
"That's pretty stupid," Kurt began, but then Tony put a hand on his shoulder, stilling the kid before he could go any further and maybe hurt himself.
"If it's hot," Tony promised them, "we'll get rid of it. That's a promise."
Kurt gave him a betrayed look. Tony stared back calmly. "We know it's not radioactive," that gaze said. "The film proves it. So why do you want to start chasing your own tail?"
"Well, I sort of think we ought to turn it over to the government anyway," Buck said. "They might be able to help us, find stuff out. Defense stuff."
His voice getting smaller and smaller as he sensed the silent disapproval all around him.